Last year, 52% of students have hit, bullied, or taunted fellow classmates. These children believe it's okay to hit or threaten a person who angers them. Bullying is like torture to some kids. Let's stop the hatred. This message is from Tri-Property Management in Greeley. For a full range of homes or apartments for rent, call 970-352-1025 or visit triplacestolive.com.
Well, it's funny to talk to Dan back here at the American Speed Network. Coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually strong, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And one of the problems we have in determining what the future will bring is that most of what you have learned in school and most of what you hear on television today in your churches, most of what you hear is just not true. History is the key to understanding what's going on in the world today. And the average American has never even heard of the Philippine-American War. Certainly we've heard of the Boer War, and we've heard of the Spanish-American War. We're not quite sure why we fought them, but why we did. But what about the Philippine-American War? We killed between 2,000 and 2 million Filipinos, but that was back about 1905. But we don't even talk about that sort of thing. And that was the lead up, of course, to the World War One. We never should have been in. But World War One destroyed the Russian Empire. It destroyed the great Ottoman Empire. It destroyed, the Austro-Hungarian Empire. It destroyed the German Empire. But the average individual has no idea. This was all planned and contrived, totally contrived, and the average American never understood why we sent our boys to fight and die overseas in that totally senseless war, just as senseless as the war that is coming. Because if you don't understand the past, you don't understand what's taking place today or what the future holds. With us today, James Perloff, one of my favorite authors. We carry his book, Shadows of Power, and his latest book, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But right now, James, you pick off and tell us about this story that you're working on.
Oh, well, first of all, let me thank you for having me on the show, Dr. Stan. It's so good to have you back on the air after that short respite.
And good to be back again. It really is.
It's fantastic to be on with you again. And you called me yesterday, and I suggested we talk about World War One and the sinking of the Lusitania. And I hadn't thought about it at that moment, but as a matter of fact, this is an appropriate day to talk about the Lusitania, which is the false flag that brought us into the First World War. Because today is actually the 99th anniversary of the sinking of the Lusitania. Today is May 7th, and the Lusitania went down on May the 7th, 1915. And some people might say, well, why don't you wait for the 100th anniversary? Well, actually, this year is the 100th anniversary of the First World War. Next month will mark the 100th anniversary of the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, which began that war. So let's talk about the Lusitania. We've talked before on your show about other false flags, such as the sinking of the Maine, which brought us into the Spanish-American War, the Tonkin Gulf, and the Vietnam War, and America's foreknowledge, or rather, I should say, Washington's foreknowledge of the Pearl Harbor attack, which brought us into World War II. But we haven't really discussed the Lusitania in any depth. And so just to give a quick backgrounder on this, the Lusitania was a British passenger ship when it was launched in 1907. At that time, it was actually the largest ship passenger ship in the world. In 1915, it was on its way from America to Britain. At that time, Britain was at war with Germany. We had not yet entered the war. We were still a neutral. And the Germans sunk the Lusitania. And it went down. This mighty ship went down just 18 minutes after being hit by one torpedo. It was followed by a massive explosion. Over 1,200 lost their lives. And there were over 100 Americans that died in that disaster. And although this did not immediately bring us into World War One, it was the event that inflamed, was used to inflame public opinion more than anything else. And so let's talk a little bit about how this was a false flag, and let's talk about why the Germans were torpedoing ships off the British coast. The British had inaugurated with their mighty navy a blockade of Germany, and they'd sown the North Sea full of mines. And so neutral ships that went in to try to deliver commercial goods to Germany would be sunk by these mines. And so the Germans decided to retaliate because this was starving them out. In fact, after the war, it determined that several hundred thousand people had starved in Germany due to the British blockade. The Germans declared a war zone around England, and people say, well, it's inhumane to sink a ship with a torpedo, but well, there's not much difference between a torpedo and a mine, and they both are taking human life. And I should also mention, whereas the British indiscriminately sank neutral ships with their mines, the Germans only sank belligerent ships. They did not attack neutrals. But why was it that the Germans sank the Lusitania? Why did they sink it without warning? They started sinking ships without warning. The answer is in British policy. Initially, in World War One, a German submarine would surface. It would threaten a merchant ship, which might fire a shot across its bow if it tried to escape. It would allow the passengers and crew to escape in lifeboats, and then it would sink it, either with a torpedo or gunfire, or even planting explosives on board. But in 1914. Winston Churchill was then head of the British Admiralty, and he ordered that merchant ships be armed with guns, with cannons. And he made it a offense if a merchant ship did not respond to a hailing from a German ship by attacking it. Merchant ships were ordered to fire on submarines, or if they didn't have any guns, to ram it, and they were actually could be prosecuted under British law if they failed to do that. And also, one merchant man who rammed and sank a U-boat was given a reward of £3,000. So the British were offering bounties for sinking U-boats, and there was this carrot and stick. I should mention that it was relatively easy to sink a U-boat. They were not battlecraft. They weren't heavily armored, and just one shot from a small caliber cannon could sink a sub. So as a result of British policy, the Germans were forced to halt their policy of surfacing, and were forced to sink ships with torpedoes without warning. Otherwise, they were risking their own crew and lives. And several such subs had been sunk by the British before the sinking of the Lusitania. Now, Winston Churchill described this strategy in his book, which he published after World War One. It was called The World Crisis. Since the Germans were only sinking British ships, not neutral ships, and he wanted to get America into the war, he realized he was going to have to sink a ship, a British ship, with Americans on it. And here's what he wrote in his book, The World Crisis. He said, quote, we'll wait for that break.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060. Avoid being bitten by the cold and flu bug by increasing your body's own defense system. Call me, Julie Formby, certified master herbalist, for a free 15-minute phone consult and save 20% off three powerful products that protect you against colds, flu, bacterial infections, viral outbreaks, and will drive down fevers. Your free new vitality consult and a 20% product discount is for a limited time. Call 970-203-9540. That's 970-203-9540.
Well, we're talking about the onset of World War One, the sinking of the Lusitania, which, of course, is used as one of the instances which was created to justify America going into the war. The people of America didn't want to go into a major war in 1915 any more than the people of America want to go into a major war today, but you're going into one. And so the background certainly was that the English were doing everything they could to create this major incident where they would kill Americans to justify it, so they could build up the public support in America for a war, just as they're doing everything they can to build up in America today preparation for a war with one or another aspect of the Muslim world. You're being liberated, ladies and gentlemen, but if you don't understand the past, you're not going to be able to stand what is taking place today, and how the entire media controlled by essentially the same forces that controlled it back in 1915 is moving America to war. Go right ahead, James.
Yes, it's amazing how little things have changed. Well, I was about to quote Winston Churchill in his post-World War One book, The World Crisis. Here's what he wrote. He said, quote, "The maneuver which brings an ally into the field is as serviceable as that which wins a great battle." Unquote. Here's another quote from that book. He said, quote, "The first British countermove made on my responsibility was to deter the Germans from surface attack. The submerged U-boat had to rely increasingly on underwater attack and thus ran the greater risk of mistaking neutral for British ships and of drowning neutral ship crews and thus embroiling Germany with other great powers," unquote, meaning the United States. So here we have him actually admitting that this was, in fact, his intention was to bring other nations into the war. Now, on the American side, Woodrow Wilson was the president. He'd gotten to be president with the financial backing of people like Cleveland Dodge, J.P. Morgan, Jacob Schiff of Cone Loeb, and Bernard Baruch. And he'd already given, before World War One began, he'd already given these guys the Federal Reserve, which has been their counterfeit producer of fiat money ever since. And they wanted him to get us into the European war, which, as you've said, Stan, Americans were very much against. But let me to establish the climate of opinion in the Wilson administration, and quote some people. Our ambassador to England was Walter Hines Page. And on May 2nd, 1915, 5 days before the Lusitania went down, he wrote this to his son, quote, "If a British liner full of American passengers be blown up, what will Uncle Sam do? That's what's going to happen," unquote. Now, on the morning that the Lusitania sank, May the 7th, 1915, Colonel Edward Mandel House, who was Wilson's controller, he was the he lived in the White House, and he was the banker's front man. He was the one who oversaw the White House when the Federal Reserve was passed. He was in England, and the morning the Lusitania sank, he met with Edward Grey, the British foreign minister, and Edward Grey asked him this question, quote, "What will America do if the Germans sink an ocean liner with American passengers on board?" Unquote. House replied, quote, "I believe a flame of indignation would sweep the United States, and that by itself would be sufficient to carry us into the war," unquote. Those quotes are from the official biography of Edward Mandel House by Charles Seymour, a member of Skull and Bones, the intimate papers of Colonel House. Now, Stan, do you know where Edward Mandel House was when the Lusitania was being sunk? He was in conference with the King of England and their foreign minister, Edward Grey. And the King of England, according to his biographer, asked this question of House, quote, "Colonel, what will America do if the Germans sink the Lusitania?" This is unbelievable. It shows that the British leadership was already had the sink of the Lusitania in mind, that this was obviously part of a plan. Now, that evening, May the 7th, a grand dinner was given by the British for Edward Mandell House. Edward Grey was there. Lord Mersey, who would eventually be the judge in the hearing on the Lusitania, was there, all the big British dignitaries. And the news came in that the Lusitania had been sunk. House at that moment stated and announced that the United States would be in the war within a month. And the U.S. ambassador in Berlin began to close up the embassy. It was just considered it was going to be a declaration of war. And this is particularly revelatory. This is a cablegram from our ambassador to England, Walter Hines Page, to President Wilson. Quote, this is the day after the Lusitania went down. Quote, the freely expressed universal opinion is that the United States must declare war or forfeit European respect. So far as I know, this opinion is universal. If the U.S. does come in, the moral and physical effect will be to bring peace quickly and give the U.S. a great influence in ending the war and in reorganizing the world so as to prevent its recurrence, unquote, meaning the recurrence of war. So what I find fascinating about this cable, Stan, is that it shows that in the Wilson administration, they already were envisioning a peace conference in a League of Nations on the day after the Lusitania sank. This is four years before the Paris Peace Conference that would establish the League. I'm going to give one more quote from one of the opponents of the war. This is from Senator Robert La Follette. He said this, quote, 4 days before the Lusitania sailed, President Wilson was warned in person by Secretary of State Bryan that the Lusitania had 6 million rounds of ammunition on board, besides explosives, and that passengers who proposed to sail on that vessel were sailing in violation of the statutes of this country, unquote, Senator La Follette. So this is very much a setup. And this was not merely a peaceful ship, but I should probably pause here, Stan, because I don't want to just keep talking a monologue.
So I just think it's so important for people to understand that the goal in 1915 was to reorganize the world and bring about a world government. And when that failed, or we had to create the Nazi movement and finance the Nazis and bring us into World War II to bring about the United Nations. And when that failed, why the coming war was inevitable. And unless the American people understand it's all manipulated, it doesn't matter what the American people think. It doesn't matter what the people of England or Europe want. There's a small group that wants to bring about a world government. And World War III is coming. Just as soon as certain as next year is coming. Go right ahead.
Okay. Let's talk about the Lusitania. The Lusitania as a ship was built with the financial assistance of the British government. The Admiralty was also gave it annual subsidies. Now, in return for this, the Cunard Line, which owned the Lusitania, had to agree to submit its ships to the orders of the Admiralty in wartime. And in 1913, Winston Churchill met with the representatives of Cunard, told them that war was going to begin within a year, and he told them to start converting their ocean liners into armed cruisers. And so ships like the Lusitania were rigged with cannons. There's evidence that on the lower deck, where no passengers were allowed, that there were 6-pound guns there. And on the next to last voyage of the Lusitania, the captain, David Dow, informed Cunard he could no longer be captain. He refused to carry passengers mixed with munitions. And so that was why William Turner took over as captain on the fateful final voyage of the Lusitania. Now, the Germans, by the way, and this is well known to students of this, the Germans tried to keep Americans off that ship, and they published a notice in the British, in the American newspapers, which said this, I'm going to quote it, said, notice, big letters, exclamation point, travelers intending to embark on the Atlantic voyage are reminded that a state of war exists between Germany and Great Britain, that the zone of war includes the waters adjacent to the British Isles, that in accordance with formal notice given by the Imperial German government, vessels flying the flag of Great Britain are liable to destruction in those waters, and travelers sailing in the war zone on ships of Great Britain do so at their own risk, unquote. It was signed by the Imperial German Embassy. That's April 22nd, 1950. Now, interestingly enough, an officer at the U.S. State Department ordered that this not be published, and when the Germans found out, they went directly to Secretary of State William Jennings Bryan, who was very upset, and he allowed this to be published. But it was late in the day at this point, and Bryan asked President Wilson to publish a warning to the American people not to be boarding British ships into the war zone, but Wilson refused to do so, and I'm sure that's one reason why he wept when he received the news that the Lusitania had gone down. Now, let's also talk about what the British were doing to set this up. I should mention that the head of Admiralty, of course, was Winston Churchill. It's interesting that when the Maine sank, which is the false flag for the Spanish-American War, the Assistant Secretary of the Navy was Teddy Roosevelt, who, of course, went on to become governor of New York and president. When the Lusitania went down, the Assistant Secretary of the Navy was his cousin, Franklin D. Roosevelt, who went on to become governor of New York and then president. And, of course, he worked with Churchill to bring us into World War II. Well, Churchill is head of the British Admiralty, and on May 5th, 2 days before the Lusitania went down, Churchill went into the map room of the British Admiralty with his first Sea Lord, Admiral Lord Fisher, and all the ships, both hostile and friendly, were on a grid map marked by pins. There was one other officer present. It was Commander Joseph Kenworthy. And you could see that the Lusitania was on a direct collision course with the U-20. This is the sub that would sink the Lusitania in the channel between Ireland and Great Britain. And so it was very evident to Churchill that the Lusitania was headed straight for a sub. They knew about the sub because the British were intercepting the radio signals of subs when they surfaced. And also, the U-20 had already sunk other vessels in that channel. And here's what Kenworthy wrote after the war in his book, The Freedom of the Seas, quote, "The Lusitania was deliberately sent at considerably reduced speed into an area where a U-boat was known to be waiting and with their escorts withdrawn," unquote. The Lusitania was supposed to be met by the Royal Navy, supposed to be met by a cruiser called the Juno, but the Juno was ordered back to Queenstown, the southern port of Ireland, expressly to avoid being attacked by submarines, but they did not order the Lusitania to report to Queenstown, nor were destroyers, which were available, sent to escort the ship. Now, the evening before he reached the channel, Captain Turner told his passengers who were growing nervous, he said, "Don't worry, because tomorrow we'll be securely in the care of the Royal Navy." But when the sun came up and he entered the channel, there were no British warships to be found. Now, the Lusitania could have been diverted to Queenstown, as it had been done with the cruiser, but the Admiralty chose not to do that. Alfred Booth, who was the chairman of Cunard, asked the Navy to divert it, but whatever answer they gave him, he was silent about it. The head of the British local defenses in Queenstown attempted to get the Admiralty's permission to divert the ship to Queenstown, but they did not reply. And so the Lusitania was very much a setup. And I just want to quote, if you've got time, Patrick Beasley. He was an officer in British Naval Intelligence, and he's considered the leading authority on the history of that service. And this is what he wrote in his book, Room 40, quote, "I am reluctantly driven to the conclusion that there was a conspiracy deliberately to put the Lusitania at risk in the hopes that even an abortive attack on her would bring the United States into the war. Such a conspiracy could not have been put into effect without Winston Churchill's express permission and approval," unquote, Patrick Beasley. Now, it's interesting. They scoff at you and me, Stan, for being conspiracy theorists, but here we have the leading authority on the history of British naval intelligence, a former officer from that service, who twice uses the word conspiracy to describe what happened to the Lusitania.
And people find it so difficult to believe that they would intentionally kill Americans so they could get us into a war to kill more Americans. And yet the evil forces in Winston Churchill, always deeply involved in the occult, he was a Mason, he was a Druid, he was involved with this whole satanic world movement to bring about a world government. And believe me, he knew what he was doing in World War I, he knew what he was doing in World War II, and there are people who are planning to bring us into another war today. Go right ahead, James.
Let's talk about why it was that the Lusitania sank so quickly. He's got the mightiest, one of the mightiest ships afloat. It went down in 18 minutes after being hit by one torpedo. This is very unusual. Actually, German torpedoes in World War I is very unusual to sink a ship from a single torpedo hit. And especially this ship should not have gone down. Now, there was a massive explosion a few seconds after the torpedo hit. Some people tried to say there's the boiler rooms, but we know that's not true because there were sailors who escaped from those, all of the boiler rooms that were operational. So it was not them. It was clearly the munitions that detonated, and the most likely suspect is gun cotton. There were tons of gun cotton on board, and let me just explain what gun cotton was. It was a very powerful explosive. It was used by the British in their mines, and it was called but hold we'll on, pick James, that up after
James,
the break.
James, hold that. We're going to a break. We'll be back in a moment with James Perloff. The price of America.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Did you see the size of that commission? That certainly was a large commission. Where's the gold? It's a very, very big commission. Where's the gold?
At your typical gold dealer, you get a lot less gold, and they get a lot more commission. At Patriot, we provide you with more gold and silver with what we like to call the single-digit markup. At Patriot, you get more gold for less.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592.
Avoid being bitten by the cold and flu bug by increasing your body's own defense system. Call me, Julie Formby, Certified Master Herbalist, for a free 15-minute phone consult and save 20% off three powerful products that protect you against colds, flu, bacterial infections, viral outbreaks, and will drive down fevers. Your free New Vitality consult and a 20% product discount is for a limited time. Call 970-203-9540. That's 970-203-9540.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Peace Network. Our guest this morning, James Perloff. And James has written a number of very important books. Shadows of Power, his latest, and that goes back to the 1980s. And then his most recent book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. We carry both of them, or you can get them directly from James. James, how can people get in touch with you and your ministry? To your website.
They can get in touch with me through the website, which is jamesperloff.com, and it's P-E-R-L-O-F-F, jamesperloff.com, and has a lot of information there, and I'll be posting an article on the Lusitania on my blog probably in about a week.
Okay, fine. And that's jamesperloff.com. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, we're talking about why was it that the Lusitania sank so quickly, just 18 minutes for this huge ship to go down from one torpedo strike. And the main suspected culprit is the gun cotton. This was, again, a very powerful explosive. Now, less than 2 weeks before the Lusitania sank, the British naval attaché in Washington, Captain Guy Gaunt, later promoted to admiral, called into his office a chemist he had on his payroll named Ritter. And he asked Ritter what the effect would be if seawater came into contact with gun cotton. And Ritter told him there were two types of gun cotton, a stable, inert type, and there was another type called peroxylin, which was very unstable, and seawater would cause it to undergo chemical changes, which would cause it to explode. And so he advised Gaunt if it was shipped, it would have to be shipped in something extremely watertight. Well, the very next day, Gaunt traveled to the DuPont Munitions up in New Jersey, which, of course, made great profits during the war, and he placed an order for tons of peroxylin, the unstable form of gun cotton. And this was loaded onto Lusitania in 4,000 40-pound burlap bags, not watertight compartments, burlap bags. They didn't call it gun cotton on the manifest. On the manifest, it said butter and cheese. Well, this couldn't have been butter and cheese because it was not in a refrigerated cargo space. It was earmarked at its destination being the superintendent of Naval Experimental Establishment in Britain, which obviously would have no interest in 4,000 containers of butter and cheese. And no one ever attempted to collect insurance on this. But this was a British typical habit. They would actually lie. They would submit falsified manifests in which contraband and munitions would be disguised as harmless foodstuffs. And the customer of commissions, the commissioner of customs in New York, Dudley Field Malone, the political appointee of Woodrow Wilson, would simply look the other way when this happened. Well, not only was the gun cotton on board, but it was in the cargo hold along with over 50 tons of shrapnel shells and 6 million rifle cartridges. And so this was just a setup for the massive explosion that occurred. Woodrow Wilson was fully aware of this. And when there was a hearing here in the United States, because there were people whose families, they'd lost family members on Lusitania, they were suing because they'd heard about the munitions. So Woodrow Wilson had the original ship's manifest with its 24-page supplementary listing the munitions to be hidden in the archives of the U.S. Treasury. U.S. Treasury oversaw the Customs Department, and he wrote on the envelope, only to be opened by the President of the United States. And the only reason we know about that manifest today is because Franklin D. Roosevelt ordered that brought to him, and it's today in his papers. Well, why don't we talk about the United States, as I mentioned earlier, Edward Mandel House was gleeful after the Lusitania sank. He thought for sure we'd get a declaration of war, but House and Wilson had overestimated the reaction of the American people to the sinking of the Lusitania. They did not think that our vital interests had been violated. In fact, I should point out that American travelers could very easily avoid the situation that happened in Lusitania. They did not have to travel in British ships. You could go to Britain and an American ship or other neutral countries' ships. The Germans were not attacking those ships. And one point person pointed out, you know, what if an American went to France during World War One and rode on a British gun carriage? Can he claim the Germans can't fire in it because he's from a neutral country? You can't do that. When you go into a belligerent country, it's understood you have to stay out of the way of the war. In fact, England itself, during the Russian-Japanese War, had told its people to stay off of belligerent ships because they would be doing so at their own risk. Now, and one advisor to the State Department actually said what the British were doing was mixing babies with bullets. They were using children and women to protect the munitions shipments. It was not at all something you could simply palm off as being the responsibility of the Germans. Actually, the Congress attempted to override the situation. They wanted to have a warning issued to the American people not to board belligerent ships, but that motion, it was called the Macklemore Resolution, was tabled because at this point, both the Republicans were under the control of the Morgan Rockefeller interest and the Democrats were under the control of the Schiff Baruch interest were both being mobilized along with the media for war. But this wasn't enough yet for the American people to go to war. So Woodrow Wilson began issuing ultimatums to the Germans. He said that this was inhumane and he demanded that they stop using subs altogether. The Germans, in turn, they offered compensation for the lives lost in Lusitania, and they provided proof that photographic proof of Winston Churchill's orders to fire and ram fire upon and rammed their subs. They pointed out that the Lusitania was an armed auxiliary of the British Navy and was carrying contraband munitions. Well, Woodrow Wilson sent a reply to the Germans stating that they were misinformed about the Lusitania, that it had no munitions, and he demanded that merchant ships be treated as peaceful vessels. Well, this is more than Secretary of State William Jennings Bryan could stomach. He could not stomach the lies that has been going on for too long, and he resigned as Secretary of State, for which he took a real beating and was accused of being a coward in the media. So, but Wilson and House continued sending ultimatums to Germany. He finally got the declaration of war in 1917, claiming that Germany had violated its pledge not to engage in unrestricted warfare on merchant ships. But the Germans had not had done that. They had not violated their pledge. They said they would halt doing this provided that Britain played by the same rules, provided that Britain stopped sinking neutral ships with its mines and stopped firing on their subs with their armed merchant men. But that was when we came into war in 1917, a war that the American people were very much against.
And I see such strong similarities between what was happening in those days and what is happening today. And you know something, they're going to create an incident over there in the Middle East or the Near East, but they're intent upon taking us into a war, probably both with either the Muslim world or the communists or both. We're looking towards a very difficult time. And the average American is just so busy leading the good life, he doesn't understand. Do you see a similarity between those that time back in 1915 and what's going on today?
Absolutely. And the only thing I disagree with, I don't think the Americans are enjoying the good life, but I think they're very busy today. And, yes, there's a great many similarities. We might talk about some of the purposes that went into this war. And one similarity actually is something similar to the Patriot Act, which we had after 9/11. There was, when we went to war, the Congress passed something called the Espionage Act of 1917. We'll wait for the break.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592, just like that.
Well, our guest this morning, James Perloff. And James, you pick up the story.
Okay, how much time, more time do we have on air, Stan?
Let's see, we have about 7 minutes.
Okay. We were talking about similarities then and now. Of course, all of these wars are started by false flags or deception, or our involvement, I should say, is created by acts of deception or false flags. And the first chapter of my new book, The Truth of the Lonely Warrior, is actually devoted to a history of the various false flags that brought us into war, including the Lusitania. But I was talking about the Espionage Act of 1970 might be compared to the Patriot Act. It basically outlawed anyone speaking out against the war who would be considered harmful to American interest. There was a woman named Rose Pastor Stokes, and she wrote a letter to the Kansas City Star, and she said, quote, "No government which is for the profiteers can also be for the people, and I am for the people while the government is for the profiteers." And she was sent to prison for 10 years for writing that letter. There was a Hollywood producer who made a movie called Spirit of 76. It was about the Revolutionary War, a very patriotic movie. He was arrested, and the film was seized because it cast a British in a bad light. You probably know that Charles Lindbergh Sr., the aviator's father, was very much against this war. He was a congressman. His book, Why Your Country Is at War, was seized. There were so-called preparedness clubs, which were used to spy on citizens, report anyone considered disloyal. So civil rights were very much being violated. And this is, we're talking 100 years ago if this was happening. Why don't we talk a little about the purposes of getting us into this war. One, of course, as we've already touched on, was the creation of the first world government, the first formal world government, the League of Nations, came out of this war. It was also used to ignite the Bolshevik Revolution. I'm sure many of your listeners know that Woodrow Wilson intervened to secure the release of Leon Trotsky from after he was arrested in Canada, which permitted him to go on to participate in the Russian Revolution. And if you want to see something interesting, a lot of people know that Woodrow Wilson had brought 14 points to the Paris Peace Conference of 1919, and of course the 14th was a call for the League of Nations. But take a look at the sixth point of Wilson's 14th point was a call to allow the Bolsheviks to leave them alone and for other nations to give the Bolsheviks every assistance they needed in carrying on their government. He was very much in the control of the banksters, Woodrow Wilson. Another thing that came out of this war, of course, was the Balfour Declaration, which by which the British government promised the Zionist Federation that in return for bringing the America into the war, they would establish a Jewish homeland in Palestine. That was a setup, of course, for the enthronement, ultimately, of the Antichrist in Jerusalem, God's city. That's a subject that needs more elaboration that we don't have time for right now. There was another purpose to this war I should mention. When we talked about the Spanish-American War in the previous program, we used how the creation of a new enemy, Spain, drew people's attention away from the banksters in Wall Street. People had been complaining about the Morgan and Rockefeller monopolism. And the Populist Party was created to stop them, and that party was basically wiped out after the Spanish-American War. People lost interest. They really never ran another candidate. Well, in World War One, there was a similar process. There was a revolt in the Republican Party against the Aldrich, Morgan, Rockefeller interest led by people like Charles Lindbergh and Senator Robert La Follette. That movement was also crushed by World War One with the crushing of a dissent. And that was, by the way, the reason why they favored Woodrow Wilson. They because of the revolt within the Republican Party, they favored the Democrats temporarily to lead the nation because they knew that Wilson would be so compliant. But another thing I should mention is the war profiteering. Of course, J.P. Morgan handled all the loans and the munitions purchases for the British. And Bernard Baruch was made head of the War Industries Board. And after the war, the Graham Committee of Congress determined that Baruch and his bankster buddies had stolen billions, plundered billions from the American public with munitions that were never delivered to the front and in many cases never even manufactured, and that their indictments were quashed. No banker ever went to prison for all the billions that were stolen. And you can find that information in Ferdinand Lundberg's book, America's 60 Families. Well, I know we're getting to the end of the hour, Stan. I'll just mention...
Three more minutes for you.
Okay. Let me mention some resources that people can go to get more information. The best source of information on the Lusitania is a book by Colin Simpson. It's called The Lusitania. And another good one is the book I mentioned by Patrick Beasley of British Naval Intelligence called Room 40. But if people would just like to go onto YouTube, they can see there a documentary called In Search of the Lusitania. That's from the old In Search of show that was hosted by Leonard Limoy. It's a pretty good documentary on what was really happening with Lusitania. So there's information out there, and on my website, jamespoloff.com, by next week I should have something up on the Lusitania. And Stan, I just want to thank you for all you're doing. You're just a marvelous example for all of us to follow. And I just think it's fantastic. You're 85 years old and still going strong. It's obvious you're a Marine. I think you ought to actually be a sort of a poster boy for the Marines, you know, still going strong at 85.
Anyway, God bless you, James. I think it's exciting. God has given you the ability to accumulate information. He's given me a voice at this time in history, and as long as he allows us, we'll be here doing 5 hours a day talk radio. Hopefully, by the end of this week, we'll be back in full swing. But let me suggest you go to James Perloff's website, jamesperloff.com, and get his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Shout out to Power. What are the couple of others that you've written? At least one other, I know.
I've written some books on the creation versus evolution, the evidence that life is too complex to have ever come about by chance processes. Tornado in a Junkyard is the number one book that I've written on that.
It's vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, you understand that behind everything going on today are powerful, spiritual, demonic forces. Their ultimate goal, a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and the destruction of Christianity, which is why we've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, and why everything is being done by the mass media and by our government to destroy Christianity in this country and throughout the world, and the average Christian living the good life no group of people have ever led, a wonderful life like we're living today. But believe me, we're moving towards a crisis in history. It's coming. It's coming very rapidly. James, we look forward to having with us in the not-too-distant future on one of our other programs.
Stan, thank you so much for your service and for your wisdom.
God bless. Bye-bye. And we'll talk to you real soon.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at The Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, The Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, what's really going on in the world today? Who is Vladimir Putin? Vladimir Putin is the head of the KGB. Was the head of the KGB. Now he's the nominal head of Russia. So he got himself appointed there. Oh, they have elections, but they rigged the elections. But of course, just as Russia is becoming increasingly a free enterprise system, with a capitalist system, they have their oligarchs over there. Who are the oligarchs? They're all former members of the KGB. Do you honestly believe this? Well, this is what you're being sold, you know, and Russia is having more and more freedom, and we're having less and less freedom, and it's all contrived. Who created communism? Well, we created communism. You need my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And the references in the book will lead you to all the other books written by people who've been involved in this going back 100 years to show you exactly how we created communism, the best enemy money could buy. And then, of course, down the line, why we had to create another enemy, we financed a Nazism. If you haven't heard our 4-CD set of The War Against the Jews by John Loftus, who had a security clearance 3 levels above top secret. And, of course, he goes into the background of how we financed the Nazis before and during World War II, and then helped them to escape to South America. Probably 30 to 50,000 to South America and all throughout the rest of the world as a bulwark in preparation for World War III, which is coming very, very soon. But you're never going to hear this thing through regular channels. They're controlled. If you doubt it, you need the book, The New Media Monopoly, written by a left-wing professor who thinks mistakenly that the media is controlled by the radical right in America. Then the people on the radical right think the media is controlled by the radical left, and they don't understand it's all controlled by the Brotherhood. It's real, not imaginary. You can get their publications of their membership, but they don't tell you who the inner core is. But because behind the inner core of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission is another small group of truly satanic worshippers. All you need to do is go to the website for the Trilateral Commission and look at the website. 3 sixes joined together by an upside down broken cross. Well, we need your help to maintain our network of stations. As you know, I do 5 hours of talk radio, 5 hours a day. I will do it as long as God gives me the strength, and I'm going down for treatment for my 2 minutes morning, but I'll be here as long as you're helping. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. We'll see you. Provide a free catalog. 1-800-544-8927. You can get a free catalog. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there. Live 4 hours a day. 4 hours a day, archived 24 hours a day. For your job, get our information, copy of it, get it out, talk to people. Let them understand the war is coming, begin to make preparations for the breakdown of the structure of our society, for the attempt to implement dictatorship. Get your sheriff in office who will be able to try to maintain order as they try to create chaos. This is not imaginary, it's real. The nightmare is upon us. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Can we do anything? I don't know. I don't know what God has in plan, but pray for America. Pray for revival. And please pray for my ministry.